Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word, that we would hear your word, and it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Would you please be seated? As you're being seated, if you turn to John 15, read already, and kids, if you haven't, you're welcome to head to the back to meet your teachers for your special class if you'd like to participate. So, I essentially wrote three sermons this week, and not on purpose. So, one was on motherhood, specifically using material from our reading in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I actually look forward to preaching that someday. Another was on John 15, which was read, being connected to Jesus the vine. But there was something about putting those together that they just wouldn't come together. And then something happened, and the whole tone of John 15 shifted. And it turned into something totally different. So Thursday morning, anybody on staff knows this, Thursday morning is my do not disturb, the door is closed for a reason, the phones are off, there's a noise machine going in my office so I can't hear conversations in the hallway, pretend I'm not here, I'm working on my sermon time. And if you show up on Thursdays and you try to walk down that hallway, Virginia will come and tackle you because she knows that's important. And so as I was sitting down, things hadn't come together, everything's jumbled, I sat down and began to pray, as I always do, and I just started sobbing. I mean, heaving, messy tears, not like me at all, just sobbing. All that I've personally been through over the past few years, pressure from every direction, Mother's and Father's Day still can be hard for me. I had surgery a few months ago that caused unexpected long-term nerve pain that the doctors have no clue how to fix, other than we can cut you open and try stuff. But at my age, they're starting to use words like chronic and lifelong pain. All of my hobbies and stress relievers in life have suddenly been taken away because they were all active, and I can't do anything active anymore at this point without days of pain. And there's this deep anger brewing. We have a long-term sick child at home. We have a toddler, enough said. We can't even manage to schedule a simple local family vacation without massive complications because of our situation. And here I am, sitting down to write, and I pray, and I just lose it. With my face in my hands, tears in my eyes, I said out loud to the Lord in prayer, I have nothing left. I've got nothing. Not for the sermon, like nothing. I cannot handle another thing. And I just cried. I mean, body shaking. If anyone else had seen me, they would have come running to check on me. Not quitting and not giving up. This wasn't a dangerous moment. Just nothing left to give. And that was the place where I began to hear what Jesus said. Abide in my love. He says, make your home in my love. That has to be enough for us. Abide in my love. And after a while, just being in that place, I finally tried to open the Bible and try to work. And one of the first things I saw as I read through John 15, one of the first words I saw is pruning. Jesus says, in John 15, he says, you can be cut off or you can be cut back. There's actually an intentional word play that we don't see in English, but if you look at those verses, takes away and prunes, there's a play on there. It's either cuts off or cuts back. And I was suddenly overwhelmed with, this is what pruning can look like. Cutting things back so that you yourself are not cut off. God did not cause all the things that have happened, to me or to you. Sometimes, just awful things happen to us. They are not good, and they should not have happened. But Romans 8 in the Bible assures us that God works together all things for the good of those who love him. Some of the things that I'm carrying, some of the things that you're carrying are not good, and we need not pretend that they are. But God's promise is that in his hands, they become pruning for our good and for his glory. How? I don't know. I have no idea how this all works. But we can be cut off and die, or we can be cut back and grow. And to be clear, being cut back, being pruned, hurts. It's God's mercy to prune us so that we can grow more. It's God's mercy to shape us into who we were made to be so that we may bear more fruit. It's his mercy to do that. But as a professor of mine once wrote, sometimes his mercy has sharp edges. It hurts. For our good, he promises. But pruning can hurt. Abide in my love, he says. That has to be enough for us. As a friend of mine said in a time of crisis, he says, if the promises of God don't work now, they just don't work. Abide in my love, he says. And he says that God cuts us back so that we may bear fruit. He doesn't actually in this passage go into what all that means. But sometimes that may be obvious and visible, and other times it may be hidden and seen only by God alone. But he does say in verse 8 that when we bear fruit, by this the Father is glorified. We are cut back that we may flourish, and by that God is glorified. We are pruned so that God may be glorified. And this is the point where, for me, something shifted. Those were the words that I needed. That you may be glorified. Now, nothing changed. None of the stress or pain was gone. But may I go through it for your glory? Would you, O Lord, somehow receive glory in me? And if this is how that works, then would you give me grace to walk through it for your glory? I'm not blaming God for my pains, but I'm asking that he would give me strength and grace to be pruned by them for his glory. And he says in verse 9, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Pruning, even painful pruning, obey God through it no matter what. Pain that leads us to turn away from God and disobey him in our lives can be cutting off. But pain that we carry while continuing to obey the Lord can be used in his hands as pruning in our lives. Obedience while in pain is one of the most significant tools to shape us that I know of. Obeying God while being cut back gives glory to God. That's a huge part of the book of Job in the Bible. Obeying while being cut back gives glory to God. Obedience in pain can, as it says in verse 8, can prove that we truly are his disciples. Obedience while in pain gives glory to God. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, The Screwtape Letters, he wrote that the devil's cause is no more in danger than when a human looks out upon a world from which all traces of God have seemingly been removed, asks why he has been forsaken, and then still obeys. God is glorified. The devil is shaken. Fruit is born when we obey in and through pain. And when we do that, we know that the pain is being used as a pruning, being cut back and not cut off. Even when the pain is too much, even when you're not sure why you're even doing it anymore, lean in. Say your prayers. Show up at church no matter what. Shut your mouth and refuse to gossip. Give, worship, show tenderness to each other even when it hurts. Bless when hurt by others. Trust in Jesus. By this, our Father will be glorified, and we are shaped even through painful pruning. And Jesus ends with, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And I'll be honest, I'm not there yet. Joy in it is hard. I'm not there. But I'm trusting that God can work all of this for his good. And I catch glimmers of it. But I also know that I am a different person than I was. But I'm still going to trust him. Some of us will go through life-altering pain, and we will never be the same person again. But in God's hands, that can be pruning. And in his love, we can be shaped into what we were made to be, even through terrible pain. "Abide in me," Jesus says. "Abide in my love." He says, "My Father prunes you so that you may bear more fruit." Abide in my love. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Now we're going to take a moment just to pray. And then I'm going to close by reading some of these words from Jesus again. And so just in silence, would you just open your hands just sort of as a symbol of receiving from the Lord? And I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes, block out the distractions of those around you. You don't have to say a word. I'm going to pray over you. And would you just maybe open yourself up to receive from the Lord? "Abide in my love," Jesus says. Lord, would you make that enough for us? To make our home in you and in your love for us? May that be the defining realm where we live, dwelling in your love. Father, would you in fact prune us? Even when it hurts, would you prune us and cut us back that we may be more fruitful for our good and for your glory? Lord, would you strengthen us to obey your commands, giving you glory and honor, and proving to ourselves and to the world that we truly are your disciples? Give us eyes to see what you truly command of us, not what we might choose for ourselves. Give us eyes to see where we have chosen our own way and even convinced ourselves that it was your way. Strengthen us to follow you no matter what. And Lord, would you give us joy in you in the midst of it all, in pain and pleasure. You give us true joy in you. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does, he prunes, that it may be more fruitful. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Amen.